disregard the Bible verse on the right-hand inner side of the bulletin, you'll notice there's no insert today. That's because at 2 o'clock this morning, I changed sermons. That happens once in a while. We'll pick up next week the prayer of Paul for the church. But this morning, I want to talk about this holiday weekend. Labor Day weekend. Our God is a God who works and rests. Genesis declares that at the end of his work that he had been doing in creating the universe, he rested from all of his work. It says, God blessed the seventh day and made it holy because on it he rested from the work of creating that he had done. God is a working God that we serve. And then he made humanity, male and female, man and woman in his image. And we quickly learn that at least part of what that means. I talk a lot about being created in the image of God. I think that's so critical that we understand and contemplate and think about what that means. And most of the time, I go down the pathway of saying, well, that means that we are relational beings because God is a Trinity, and to be made in His image means that we were created for connecting, for relating with God and with one another. But another thing that it means to be created in the image of God, as it's revealed in Genesis, is that we were created for work and for rest. We are created in the image of a working God. And one of our purposes, one of our great purposes in life, is to work. So God created work. And I find it interesting. I love to tell married couples, did the premarital counseling for Ryan and Dara. And I love to tell premarital couples that when they are entering into the covenant of marriage, they are entering into one of the rare things in this world that predates the fall of humanity. Because God created man and woman and created the institution of marriage before the fall, before sin entered into the equation. Well, the same thing can be said about work. God created this beautiful garden for the man and the woman to live in. But they had some instructions. They were to work the garden. They were to take care of the garden. And so once again, we come across this rare thing where we find something in our lives that is part of God's original design, untainted in its original state, at least, by sin. We were created to work. It says, the Lord God put the man, took the man and put him in the garden to work it and take care of it. And God even set humanity on the same rhythm, if you will, of work and rest that He had. God worked for 6 days at the creation of the universe, and then He rested. And He creates man to work the garden, but He puts him in a rhythm of work and then rest. So work is a good thing. And resting from work to celebrate, to recharge, to worship and give glory to God is a good thing. Labor Day weekend, we celebrate. First Monday of September, Sunday, Monday, the whole weekend becomes kind of a little holiday. It was created in the late 19th century, or established at least in the United States, dedicated to the social and economic achievements of American workers, a tribute to the contributions workers have made to the strength, prosperity, and well-being of our country. It's a day to recognize and celebrate our work. But let's acknowledge something here. work is sometimes hard. Work is sometimes frustrating. Seems like it is often more difficult than it needs to be. I mean, think about work. You're at work and things break. You know, I've seen go down the road, see these road construction crews working, and some machine that's supposed to be really important to the process breaks, and all of a sudden, you know, you got a group of people standing around watching a broken machine. Nobody's working. They're all on the clock. You know, things break. They don't go how they're supposed to go. Personalities clash. You ever experienced that in the workplace? I remember I was working at Precision Painting a few years ago, kind of a factory setting, and a major rift occurred between our foreman over the area that I was working in and one of the workers, and it got tense, heated discussions. Human resources got involved. You know, they came down and they interviewed us all, trying to figure out, you know, what was going on between these two workers that resulted in one of them getting fired. Personalities clash. Bosses can be jerks. We just were finishing, we're in the middle of our study in the book of Exodus on our Wednesday group, and we just went through the chapter where Moses comes in and he says to Pharaoh, listen, God has told me you're supposed to let everybody go, which is your whole labor force, to go out into the desert and worship God. And you know what Pharaoh did? Pharaoh said, here's what I'm going to do. All of the workers are going to be required to make the same amount of bricks that they've always made, but instead of providing the straw for them to do that, they're going to have to go gather their own straw. And they better meet quota or heads are going to roll. Well, long story short, the people were not real happy with Moses because Pharaoh was being a jerk and trying to create a wedge between the people and their God. So bosses, workers can be lazy. I recently read or heard on the news an account of a guy, a government worker, imagine this, he clocked in every day, he went home, at the end of the day he came back to work and clocked out for 10 years before he finally was discovered. Workers can be lazy. The point of all of this that we have to come to grips with, wherever you work or if you worked or if you're beyond work or whatever stage of life you're in, and this applies, all of this applies to school, to students, whatever context you're in, here's the deal. Sin has entered the equation. And it's taken this good thing that God meant only to be good. Work was only to be enjoyable and a positive thing. But sin did enter the equation. And it wrecked things immediately. In fact, if you go to Genesis 3, right after the fall occurs and the man and the woman rebel against God and say, we're not going to follow you, God. God comes and he puts a curse on each of the three, the man, the woman, and the serpent. And to the man he says, thorns and thistles. From now on, cursed is going to be the ground. It's not going to produce like it was originally created. It's going to be hard work. It's going to be by the sweat of your brow. So the question this morning I want to address is, what is a person of faith to do about this? How are we to handle the tough part of work and the part that drives us crazy? You see, God is in the redemption business. We sing about His redemption and His salvation. But you need to understand that His salvation and His redemption is intended to permeate every area of our lives, including our work. So how does God begin to redeem our work in such a way that He blesses it and we honor Him in all of this? Well, there's a little verse in Ephesians that we're going to look at this morning. The early church, the context of the early church was that it was a society based upon basically slave labor, the labor of an indentured servant. A person would literally sell themselves to another individual because, you know, that's the only way you could work and provide for your family. And so it was a rough work culture. Conditions were tough, often unfair. And so some of these people were getting saved. And the question became, what do we do about our work life? How do we handle these difficulties that we face? And so Paul, in the midst of giving instructions to families, he kind of turns next to workers. And in Ephesians 6, verses 7 and 8, he gives us just some words that I want to focus on this morning for a couple of minutes. He says to these workers, and he says to us, serve wholeheartedly, as if you were serving the Lord, not men, because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether slave or free, whatever your condition, this applies to you. So I just want to kind of break down some observations this morning for a couple of minutes on what these words say to us this morning. First of all, his first words are, serve wholeheartedly. That's God's solution. The first word in there is serve. Very instructive. Let me ask you, do you have a servant's heart when it comes to your work? Are you humble? Are you teachable? These are the attributes that honor God in the workplace. It says to have a servant, to work like a servant, to serve wholeheartedly. Give it all you got. Work hard at whatever you do. Don't clock in and then go home. Do whatever you do with excellence. Do whatever you do to the best of your ability. Keep growing in your knowledge, in your trade, in your craft. Don't start strong in life and then fizzle out halfway through or down the road. It says, do it wholeheartedly. That's his initial instruction. But how do we maintain? What could possibly motivate us to stay strong and to serve wholeheartedly? Like for the long haul. Like when things get really tough. When circumstances at work or in life feel like they're just out of our control and it feels kind of hopeless. How do we do this? Well, he adds the next sentence. He says, serve wholeheartedly as if you are serving the Lord, not men. So if you are a Christian, I can say this with authority, Jesus is your boss. And that's how you have to think about it. So even if you have a difficult or an unfair boss, by faith, you can look past that person, in a sense, and see Jesus, the Lord. In other words, this is an act of faith that the worker can come to the Lord in prayer as she faces her work life, as she faces her school life, as you face your days and whatever you're doing, and say, Jesus, you know, this is hard, but I offer my work unto you. I do it well for your glory. Jesus, I need your spiritual and moral strength because things are getting kind of iffy here at work. I'm not really sure what's all going on. God, I need your wisdom because people are gossiping. Or maybe I'm being asked to do something that's kind of questionable, unethical, and I'm not sure how to handle this in a way that honors you. I know I can't go down that path. God, I need your wisdom. How do I do this? How do I navigate? Jesus, I need your motivation when things are dragging or when I'm dragging. I'm in this for the long haul, but I'm running low on gas. Lord, do you have any energy? Do you have any new energy you could supply for me? Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I got to be honest, my attitude sucks. I'm in a rut right now. I feel stuck. I feel hopeless. I feel helpless. Maybe I feel bitter. All the passion and heart and care that I used to have has been sucked out of me. Jesus, what do I do? Show me, because I need you right now, Jesus. These are the prayers of a person looking past their situation and the details of it, looking past the difficult boss and looking to their ultimate boss, Jesus, living by faith. Friends, I want to encourage you this morning. This isn't some spiritual trick. Like a good idea. Hey, okay, I'll picture Jesus beyond my boss. That'll somehow flip a switch. This isn't some trick. The living, resurrected Jesus is there. His resources are real. And he cares about your work life. Your school life. Those of you who are retired, and I know we have a fair number in our congregation, he cares about how you spend your days. Your work has just taken on a different form. I hear you talking about how busy your days are. There's lots to do. Jesus is there. The other thing that this teaches us, if you haven't picked up on this yet, is that work is sacred. Your work, no matter what you do, no matter where you work, no matter how high up or low down or menial or whatever you think your work is, it is utterly sacred. Absolutely matters to the heart of God. Sometimes I know we've created this divide between what we in our minds consider spiritual and sacred and secular. And we think our work is kind of not part of my faith. It's kind of a secular thing. And so God's kind of indifferent. He's just sitting here on Sundays waiting for me to show up at church. And that's really all he cares about. So wrong. So absolutely wrong. Jesus is the creator of work. God is the one, and he cares. Colossians 3:17 says, "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Whatever you're doing, it is an offering unto the Lord. Friends, your work, your school, Your retirement is your ministry. You are a missionary, and your work, your school, your environment, the people that God puts in your path is your mission field. Do you treat others with love and fairness and respect? Are you conscious that I'm God's instrument wherever I'm at? Doesn't mean you have to overtly witness everywhere you go. Let me share the four spiritual laws with you. Let me share how are you sharing the love of Christ and being a model in the way that you treat others, in the way that you're there for others? Do you honor them as image bearers, even if they drive you crazy? Man, that's a hard thing to do. Let me tell you, we're going to need the Lord to do that. I'm going to need the Lord's help to do that. And the good news is He's there. He's offered Himself. The Lord is there with His resources of love, strength, wisdom, perspective. My simple encouragement, whether you're a student, whether you're an employee, whether you're retired, call on Jesus with your daily life, with your work life, with your school life, with your retired life. There's more good news. One more piece of good news I see in this passage. It says there's a result to all this. Faithful living in your work life. Because you know, it says there at the end of our passage in Ephesians 6, because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether he is slave or free, and put it in our context, whatever your lot in life, whatever your station in life. Listen, the company may not be handing out a bonus this year, but God is. This verse teaches us that your work actually counts for eternity. It does. Your work counts for eternity. God is inviting you to come to Him and to live in your work life for His glory and to call upon His name. And to the degree that we do that, and to the degree that we allow Him to use us in our workplace, there is reward. And that is eternal reward. That is handed out on the other side, in heaven. And so your work counts for eternity, or at least I could put it this way, how you approach your work counts for eternity. You will be rewarded for the faithfulness in which you serve your real boss, Jesus. And that reward is eternal. So, this Labor Day, maybe it's time to hit the reset button regarding school, regarding your work, regarding how you view your days of retirement. Maybe today is an opportunity to say, you know, I knew all that stuff, Pastor Mike, but I've kind of forgotten about it. I've kind of got a little sloppy. I've kind of gotten a little discouraged and I haven't been doing this thing unto the Lord, this area of my life, this station of my life. And so maybe today's the day you hit the reset button on how you view these things. Maybe today you start working for a new boss, Jesus. He's there to help. Maybe today is the day you say, Lord, I've kind of gotten a bad perspective, and it's time to kind of have renewed hope that you will guide me and lead me on this path. So let's just end our time together and let's pray and let's ask the Lord to be our boss in whatever station in life that we are in. Father, this is just a short, simple verse from your word that gives us instruction and gives us great promises in the area of life of work. And I think it equally applies to those who are students in the school age of life. Yet I think it equally applies to those who are retired from maybe formal work. But Lord, our days are full. And are we looking to Jesus to be the boss of our life, the one that we're truly working to honor? Are there adjustments right now, even that come to our hearts, that Jesus would have us make, a repentance over a bad attitude, just a different perspective on how I view my work, not as just something I go and do that God doesn't care about, but for the first time maybe saying this is an area that God cares greatly about, and how I do my work, and with what attitude I do my work, and how I relate to people at work actually matters for eternity. For some this morning, we're just discouraged and we just need to call out to the Lord Jesus. Jesus, I need your strength. I'm struggling and I know I'm struggling. But Lord, I look beyond my circumstances and I look to you. Give me a new perspective. Give me your perspective. Jesus, redeem this area of my life for your glory. Help me to do my work, to do my school, to live my retirement days in such a way that when I get to the end, there will be great reward for faithfulness unto you. And we'll give you the praise and the glory and the honor as you minister to us in this way. In Jesus' name, amen.